My life provides the world an opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package. My smile emulates the sun in ways that makes those around me feel the warmth of my love. Joy creates the type of breeze that brings new direction to those that doubt spring is coming. The cooling blue skies that exist in my world are truly infectious. I hate the thought of slumber because it denies me too many moments when I'm not impacting the world. The passion I have for life cannot be contained by the dark clouds of my personal doubts. I have mastered my own negativity in a way that reduces any reduction in my productivity. Now every day is the net profit of my existence. My ball of life bounces off the foundation of obstacles, which were overcome with a smile. I now see the roadblocks as the items that give my reason for living value. My self-worth is discovered in the way that I enjoy bringing happiness to others. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection.
You inside never had it so good. 101.1 Radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
With that message, never better get checked. There ain't no difference when the king goes sick. Put it down and a check, fuck around and get sweat.
And don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know He's mine forever. Got to walk on, walk on through temptation. Cause He's love, and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is love.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, this is Sunday evening, and so my boss is cutting me a little short today. And so we only have about 30 minutes to talk, but we got a lot to talk about. I'm going to talk about politics today because I just think we're going through a crazy time, people. I tell you, I just cannot imagine what life is going to be like by the time we reach summer, because our President Donald Trump is setting the world on fire. You know, he is creating a storm of activity. You know, and I, a
life was so quiet and pristine under Barack Obama because you knew he was going to make the kind of decision that was going to calm the whole world. But Donald Trump is not interested in calming the nerves of the individual people. He looks like he's just ready to set us on fire. And, D, we just got to be prepared and ready for all the chaos that he's going to bring to our existence. You know that, I mean, how in the world can you sign a document that keeps people from coming back to their families, that keeps people from getting back to their jobs, that keeps people from getting back to the only life they've known for years? Can you explain that to me, D? It is just amazing. We voted a man in who seems prepared and ready to just create chaos throughout our entire world. You know, you got people from Canada telling us that we need to move the Statue of Liberty to Canada. You got people telling us that they're not going to let the United States citizens into their country because what he's doing. We just find ourselves in a world of mess and don't know what direction we're going in. D, what are your thoughts today on some of the things that this man is creating in our society?
Well, James, good evening, everybody. And the truth of the matter is what has happened is that Donald Trump and the world that the people that supported him have set off a worldwide protest. And it goes to show you the ignorance of, I want to give them more credit in this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it, the ignorance of the Conservative Party. You know, Mitt Romney was supposed to be the guy that showed the world that the Republican Party can be compassionate and it was ready to reform from their old ways. But the point of the matter is, and the problem is, they don't know how to get out of their own way. So they backslid in a huge way where they even elected the Antichrist, if you will, for the lack of a better term, and the guy won. Now, I can say that he's Antichrist, but I'm tell you what, if you look at the posture of everybody in the world, they feel the same way. And they can see better than the Conservative Party was able to see. Because they know that when this guy came up through the primaries and the position that he took, everybody in the world know that there was going to be an imbalance and a new abnormal. And don't nobody really want that. Because everybody in their right mind has always tried to avoid another world conflict. So this is the prerequisite of just that. So thank you, James.
It is just amazing. I mean, again, you and I, you know, we're using politics 101. We have not been elected officials. We've not been to D.C. for many, many years. We're sitting back and being laymen, and we can see right through what is happening. When Barack Obama came into office, there was a peaceful transition. There was a period of time where people sat back and watched and waited and hoped for the best. And this man from the outside said, has sought to change the whole existence or relationships between us and other nations with just foolish rhetoric. And, you know, it just amazes me that, you know, everybody knew that the people who were allowed to come over here
were being vetted. It took as much as 18 months for a family to get permission to come over here. And this man has put in place, by signing one document, has thrown the whole world in chaos. People hating us because we're not doing our part. You have people who are already here who can't get back home. You have Americans who want to go visit places that they can't go visit. You have companies telling you that they can't recruit the best and the brightest under these conditions. You have companies who are telling you that he's creating a hostile environment for them to do business. And this is signing one document. This is just less than 2 weeks in the position, and he is creating worldwide chaos by signing these executive orders. And it is, and he doesn't even have the intellect to recognize when to back down, when to throw his hand in and try to create another scenario. You've had the president of Mexico cancel a trip with him. You had the England prime minister come over here and telling him her country wasn't gonna have nothing to do with torture. And you had this fool talking about he didn't think waterboarding was torture. You know, let somebody pour water over your head to the point you think you're drowning, even though you know you're not in a pool, but your body feels like you're drowning. How can drowning or the simulation of drowning and not being able to catch your breath not be torture? You know, let somebody do that to his 70-year-old behind and see if he can get weather the storm. And it is just asinine to have a president who has no moral compass. And that's exactly what it is that we have. D?
Well, it goes to show, for the longest time, they thought that they were the exception to the rule. They thought that they made the rules and everything was supposed to bend to them. But, you know, I understand the wanting to put a hand on, try to figure out about the infiltration of terrorist states coming into friendly nations. I understand that part. But the part that that the position that they took was labeling religions as the problem. I'm not sure if they realized that's what they were doing, knowing that you got 1 billion-plus Muslims in the world. To call all Muslims the Islamic State and tagging that along with terrorism was a huge problem. And so that and the history that he has with women, you know, I've always said that he reminds me of a high school bully, especially if you're wealthy and you in a school with other people that's that don't do as well as you do. That's what he put me in the mind of. And so that's the mindset that he has always had, and even bringing this to the most highest office and all the land. So, you know, the best thing we can do, and I try to tell people, is, you know, it's test time. It's test time. And, you know, we've gone all our life to be faithful and to learn how to implement faith. Well, it's the rubber hit the road time now. And, you know, I'm really calm about it. I feel that you're calm about it too. I know a lot of people are up in arms about it and don't know what to do. They threatening to leave the country and all this and that. But, you know, if they did leave, don't nobody really care. What they need to do is sit down and gather themselves. And my position that I'm taking is to prepare. I like to say it's like it's tragic time, or if you know a storm is coming, it's emergency time, and you have to prepare yourself and prepare your youngsters and your children to know how to be available for the next surge or the next chapter, because we'll get through this. We'll get through this. I think it was Julia or somebody last night said they were fearful about him having the colds. Well, they got a plan in place, as you very well know, that one person can't activate anything. It takes three to do that, along with some other executive implementation. So, but, you know, he can start a fire. I can tell you that. He can start a fire. Thanks.
Well, the deal is I watched all day today as I listened to the news and listened to people like Paul Ryan and listened to other Republicans. They sat there and tried to justify this man's actions and tried to legitimize the things that he was doing. And I'm saying you cannot legitimize what someone is doing when you have citizens feeling like they need to get up in arms. You have people at almost every major city coming out and protesting and having their voices heard. That suggests to you that somebody is doing something in office that is creating a turmoil amongst the people. You had all the women come out with demonstrations across the country, and we can't get them rested and relaxed before he has another group of people up in arms about something else. And when these Republican senators try to legitimize the things that he's doing, it just makes you understand that they are so pro-party that they cannot serve the needs of the country. See, when you are so committed to your party that you're unable to put the president in check because that would mean that you were going against your party leadership, then that means that you're not prepared to do the work of the people when they are up in arms and telling you that there's something wrong. And so certainly there seems to be no patriotism in the Republican Party, because there's no one willing to stand up and be counted related to the things that this man is doing. And I just find it just inconceivable that we are in a position where so many people are already talking about impeachment, so many people are in distress about what it is that he's doing. You have people worried about their health care and about not being covered. It is just a major issue, a problem that we find ourselves going through right now.
Sorry, James. You were relaying back to me, right?
Right. I'm just saying, James. You know, the Republican leadership is unwilling to keep this man in check. They're unwilling to tell him when he's wrong. So therefore,
okay.
They're more committed to the party than they are to the country.
Okay, let me tell you what's going on right there. All right, if you remember how reluctant Paul Ryan, Newt Gingrich, and some of the other Republicans that's somewhat esteemed in the political realm, how reluctant they were to even endorse him.
Well, when it came down to the point where they had to start thinking about their own reelection, that's when they backpedaled and started to give signals of endorsing this guy. All right. Now, where they're at now at this point, they're putting up smoke screens and spin to divert the attention on what's really going on until they can get themselves together, until they can gather themselves to try to figure out how to slow this guy down. because, you know, and it's well noted that he won't listen to nobody. He is his own person. And the worst title they ever could have gave him, the worst title they ever could have gave him is President of the United States. Because now, as arrogant and narcissistic as he is, he's going to take that ball and run with it. Now, the third thing is that there's got to be a way, and I'm sure not, they got, here's the other problem. Steve Bannon and the secret society that's involved, especially the Breitbart folks and people like Steve Bannon, they going to have to get them out of ear distance of Donald Trump. The speechwriter is a Breitbart operative. And Kellyanne Conway, I'm not sure about where she stands, but I know she's brilliant in her own right. She carries herself real good. But from as defensive as she is, he got people around him. It's almost like the front line of defense. So to even get close to him, they're going to have to find out a way to break down that front line. So those are my observations. Come on.
Well, Dee, I have to disagree with you about that Caroline lady. Are you talking about the blonde spokesperson for Donald Trump?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a smart girl. She's smart. She's one-sided. She's one-sided now. Don't get me wrong, but she's smart enough to know how to carry the conversation and to stick to her guns. Even though they tried to break her down and trip her up, she's not easy to trip up. Come on.
Well, let me tell you something. You're right. She sticks to her guns. Whether or not she's being made to look stupid or whatever, she sticks to her guns. And let me explain to you when I say stupid. And again, I'm saying to you, I'm using politics 101 because I'm not a politician. I didn't major in government. And so I'm using just common sense. First and foremost, when you say you're going to make another country pay for a wall that they don't want, I beg to differ that you're going to be able to do that. And the reason why I say you're not going to be able to do that is because you cannot go into a sovereign country and pull out of their treasurer money. And when you say to me that you're going to tax the goods that they send to your country, they are not paying for those goods. We are paying for those goods. So in every way they display or suggest that they're going to pay for the wall, they say they're going to pay for the wall because when they catch their money from drug dealers, we already do that. We already capture money from drug dealers. So you can't send that money to two different places because we already doing that, okay? You cannot tax what they send over here because that means we're paying for the wall in the beginning and we're paying it for an end and higher prices. So they can't tell me, I have not yet to hear any way that they can demand them pay for something when without us being the one being the sucker. And she will tell you that over and over again as though she's reciting something to you that is a good plan, and there is no good plan.
No, there is no plan. That was the other thing that I wanted to mention. There has never been a plan. All there has been was always from the primaries on up was rhetoric. You remember when he used to say, and we're going to have a wall, and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. And the crowd went wild. It's like I said last night. He was like the Joker where he says, trust me, don't believe what they say, believe what I say. So there never have been a plan. And the diversion tactics that they're using right now is, and he does it all the time, he stays on task with petty issues. So you won't have a chance to ask him questions about his plan to do things such as repeal Obamacare or replace it. and the wall and countless other things. And so, but the fact of the matter is, you know, like if I'm a full blood American, and I love this country, but I want to I appreciate the president of Mexico standing up and not being intimidated by this dude. It's like when you're in verbal conflict with people in the streets, and they always tell you what they're gonna do, and your response is always, well, you know, if you're gonna do it, don't talk about it, you know. And the response also, you know, from the Mexican president, I'm not paying for the wall, and if you think I am, I can show you better than I can tell you. And that's what they have.
Regina, what are your thoughts about this foolishness that's going on right now related to our president, Donald Trump?
Well, hi, good evening. I am in investigative mode because I'm not really sure of the legalities behind all of it, and you know, I really don't like to speak and just shoot from the hip if I don't have any kind of valid information to support what I say. Now if I'm just speaking from my opinion, I am concerned, and I have contacted some of our officials here in our city, and more importantly at our school level, at our, you know, lower level, because I teach, and well, not teach, but I am at a school where we have students from 17 different countries. We have 17 different nationalities speaking 26 different languages. And we have about 650-something students at our school. So that's a pretty good-sized chunk. And my concern is the children, as usual. And, you know, how is it affecting them? This high anxiety and the high level of uncertainties. We also have a professor here in our state who went home. In fact, she's still over in her country. She tried to get back here, and she wasn't able to board. And she's a college professor here at Clemson. So my concern is that it happened so quickly that, as he's using Trump's words, were the legalities of this vetted, clearly vetted before he put it out. I think a lot of things he's doing and that he plans to do will really make him look stupid, because the attorneys are very much involved now. They're camping out at the air to help these people with this situation. And so I'm following it closely to see how it really affects me at home.
I think your thoughts?
Well, I want to go back. Yes, thank you. Good evening to everyone. I want to say, go back a little bit where you said that you don't identify where he would get another country to pay for the wall. Now, you have to remember that you're probably trying to think logically. And logically, we would think that when we hear a statement like that, that the country would have some agreement and saying, you know, I'll make this amount of payment. But I think his approach will be to kind of did a little bit such that if he increase whatever Mexico import into the United States, he'll use the funds that whatever that increase, and he'll state that difference of what they would have paid without the increase,
is how they are actually paying for the wall. But we all know in reality, if he indeed moved forward with the wall, then the United States is paying for it. You're not going to make a country pay for something that you don't want to. Not the way we normally think of contracts and agreements. But I want to just remind us all, just be thoughtful of knowing that he's a little different than what we normally are accustomed to. So don't think the same process that we would normally think, because that's not what happens. And someone said that he kind of take, smaller issues and try to capitalize on them. Yeah, that's part of the manipulation. That's part of a deterrent method. And he has done that from day one. So he's not about to change. And I agree with Regina. Well, I have information. I'm just kind of watching and being mindful and just trying to gather information and understand how best to take whatever steps for ourselves, because he's going to manipulate the situation however he wants. So go beyond you have to go deeper than the surface and just try to make sure that we're taking steps that will help us.
But it's obviously that this man is causing distress on our community. He's causing distress on not only those people who are directly being affected, but on the people who care about our Constitution and care about how it impacts those with the smallest voice. We have people out there protesting who are not being directly impacted but can't stand to see our Constitution being trampled on.
Yes, I want to say that persons like Mike Pence and Rice Priebus, they must have another agenda and another outlook on this whole situation. Because from my standpoint, unless this is the apex of your political career that you was looking for, there's no way, if I was them, that I would want to attach my name to this guy being president of the United States. So, I haven't followed up on Meet the Press yet. They're one of my resources. I haven't had an opportunity to do that. I'll do that later on tonight. If you have more on this subject tomorrow, I'll be better informed. But right now,
D.
Yes,
Mr. D.
Uh-huh.
Why would you say that? Because you have to think about it. As a Republican, you're serving as the vice president of your party, and your party not only is the majority in both the Senate as well as the House. So you have the House, the Senate, and the White House. So I don't understand. You're saying that, I wouldn't be associated with you're being associated with the president of the United States. See, we have to understand that the electoral vote design has placed him as the president. So, I mean, that's the position that they ran for. They achieved that. So who wouldn't want to be associated with the highest position in the country? So, we may be thinking that just because we view them, but we have to step back for just a minute and think, if you're politically inclined and you want to run for an office and you want to run for the highest office and you want it, you will want to be with it, because they're laying the groundwork for beyond 4 years. So that person will have the opportunity to be associated with everything that he does when he elects the chief justices, if indeed he implement new bills or rules. We're still in this upset mode. If we can see ourselves 2 to 3 years down the road, how often do Democrats in common normally forget? They forget real quickly, because otherwise I don't think we would have found ourselves in this situation, but we are. So I'd be interested to see what your research finds, because if they didn't want to be associated with them, the time not to associate with when people was not for him and it didn't look like he was going to win. But yet he went ahead and won. You surely want to be associated with him if you're a Republican.
And that's very true. The point well taken. In that respect, that being the case, either the electorals and the party and the cabinet members that are part of this administration, either they know the outcome of the story because they came together on the blueprint of outcome. If it's the way we think it's going to turn out, then that would be a huge detriment. Either they are part of the story and for the next 50 years to 100 years, or they didn't play the tape all the way through to understand and get a real sense of the repercussions of such action. So, yeah, I'm in agreement with you. If they're all part of this plot, then I made a comment last night. I don't know if you all was available, but the end result is probably a nuclear holocaust, and they will be somewhere on a space station somewhere to avoid all the fallout, and their intention is to come back and rebuild and restructure. And as far-fetched as that sounds, Hollywood has made applications of that. Now, I want to say that real quick because when it comes down to science fiction and things that Hollywood portray, science fiction is based on certain facts. So, you know, when you see these movies that talk about building the new art and stuff like that, I don't think that's too impossible. Just like when I was in high school, when I was in elementary school, they spoke about men going to the moon, and everybody thought that was impossible. But they said they did, so no, anything is possible.
Well, guys, let's take a break, and we'll come back and end the show. You know, we only had 30 minutes on Sunday, and that is never enough time for us to fully discuss things. But we know we're going to be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. For 90 minutes, and we're going to have a lot to talk about because this is a crazy situation.
Your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road and teach them to love one another that heaven might find a place in their hearts. Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know he loves forever. Got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts.